Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Alan Levy Show special edition on this Sunday, December 2nd. I appreciate everyone joining me on a live broadcast today, which is, of course, airing live on blogtalkradio.com. You can find it off our homepage or at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy, and that's where you'll be able to find the archive of this show as well. So thank you, everyone, for joining me. We're very happy to have Brian Solis as our guest today, and he'll be joining us in a moment. But first, I'd like to introduce you to John Havens, who's also a special guest co-host. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Alan.
Excellent. My pleasure. My our co-host for the show is Hillary, our features editor. But since it is Sunday and she does work around 80 hours a week, we thought we would give her the day. But she's been on. She lives in LA and she was on early, making sure Brian was notified and all that. So she's great. But how are you, John? Good?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. So we have a very exciting show today. Looking forward to spend a lot of time with Brian. I saw him at a Blog World. He's not only is he a nice guy, he's very, very one of the top guys in PR, I believe, certainly covering the social media space. So I'll give you a little background on Brian. He's a principal and founder of FutureWorks, an award-winning PR agency in Silicon Valley. Brian blogs at PR 2.0, Bubblicious, WebPro News, and he regularly contributes PR and tech insights to the industry publications. He's also co-founder of the Social Media Club and a host of other things. So, Brian, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm feeling pretty pumped after an intro like that.
Well, I was going to add Mr. PR 2.0, but I wasn't sure. Because I wasn't sure if it should be Mr. Social Media 2.0 or what.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I started using the PR 2.0 moniker back in the 90s, and it's now definitely all about social media. Or new media, and you know it's just going to continue to evolve. So I have to start thinking about getting a new name for the blog.
Okay, that sounds good. So if anyone would like to call in and ask Brian a question, you can hit us up at 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. And also the chat room is available. People can chat alongside the show as it's taking place. So I saw on your blog today and one of the posts made, and I had seen it on Scoble's, this issue with Facebook and the About Face on Facebook. Maybe we can start out talking a little about what your view is of what's happening with Facebook and how they're dealing with this Beacon, really PR disaster, what's going on.
Well, you know, Facebook hasn't been particularly proactive with trying to do anything in terms of community relations or crisis public relations. They sort of take that Apple approach to things where they just can kind of hope to float above all of the controversy. And I think in Facebook's case, this it's really starting to backfire. And that was sort of the source of the article that I published today, which was, you know, has Silicon Valley pulled an about face on Facebook?
And what's your assessment? Do you think they have?
I think this last few weeks have been indicative of the fact that Facebook is going to have to take a different tact to its community relations as well as, you know, PR and investor relations and just relations across the board. Because there's just too many things that are coming into play here. It's almost like the stars are coming into alignment against them if they don't do something right. And that is, you've got the ConnectU lawsuit coming up. You've got that huge Harvard U expose on Facebook and Zuckerberg that ran about a week ago. You also have that same publication that's running the, you know, making the court documents available in the ConnectU case for download. You've got the Beacon issue. You've got there's just more to come. You've got the $15 billion valuation that people are questioning. You've got Microsoft's $240 million investment in addition to Xing's $60 million investment, which was just announced on Friday. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And one of the interesting things is my son, who's a freshman at Indiana University, and he's been on Facebook for the last 3 years in high school courses, you know, key to him. He was never really into MySpace, and Facebook was integral to his existence. You know, particularly as he was going off to college, it was very helpful. He met his roommate on Facebook. He met tons of kids. I mean, it really is an incredible tool. When he came back for Thanksgiving, I asked him what he thought about this intrusive advertising and the applications that's going on. He says, "Dad, I got to tell you, we're not into it. I mean, I think they're moving away from their base, what got them there, and obviously they're very powerful. But, you know, when you hear things like that, that their core is getting somewhat disenchanted, you know, they have to really have to think about what they're doing in that regard. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, the core, I think the whole reason that Facebook opened up the FA program, you know, to allow people to start developing on the platform, the idea that, maybe this is going out on a limb, but I would suspect that Facebook was ready to grow beyond its core, realizing that at any moment their core would sort of dissipate. I think that the reality is that some folks are not really going to jump ship, you know, in the college circuit, mostly because there really isn't. Facebook, at the end of the day, really does offer some value. I mean, it's definitely a higher quality network over something like MySpace, but I think this is a critical time for them where all of this bad PR, or maybe the impression that the company is being a little bit too aggressive, a little too Microsoft-esque, might start to cause a little bit more of a rapid, I wouldn't say exit because it's still popular, but definitely a public decry of where it's going and where it's at.
So here's a post from Scoble today. He says, "I feel ambivalent about the troubles Facebook is having right now. Personally, I'm having lots of trouble with Facebook, but Facebook doesn't care about people who have more than 5,000 friends unless they can figure out a way to monetize us. Every time I look at Facebook, I'm reminded of how little Facebook cares about me, so I care less and less about Facebook every day." That's interesting.
That's pretty powerful. But, you know, to be fair, though, Scoble has a network that supports 5,000 of his friends, of which is very vibrant. And, you know, whatever Scoble is complaining about in terms of Facebook, I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's still facilitating conversations and relationships, you know, however you define relationships, mind you, within a community where I don't think it would be as effective anywhere else right now.
Well, I'll give you another example. As I talked to you before the show, we have Fly Lady Marla. Most people wouldn't know her. Obviously, people affiliated with Blog Talk Radio do because she's our number one host. She has 460,000 Yahoo group members. I mean, the next largest is 50,000. She sends out 3 million emails a day. That's amazing. I mean, she's an industry, and she's using Yahoo tools. Yahoo, of course, Yahoo Groups is not really spoken about, but they have 9 million groups, and they're really adding a lot of value to those members of the people that are using Yahoo Groups. So it's interesting how, you know, Facebook is limiting these, you know, or let's say there's a perceived view that there's less value if you have too many members. I don't know what your thought is about that, but
I think, you know, eventually Facebook, like I was saying earlier, I mean, Facebook could only benefit by listening and cultivating relationships within its own community. And, you know, something like, you know, truthfully, something like 5,000 friends is irrelevant in the greater scheme of what Facebook is enabling, right? I mean, Yahoo Groups is 10 years old. It's a very proven sort of minimalist network, but it works, right? And Facebook, I mean, does Fly Lady have a Facebook profile?
No, she's never even been on Facebook.
See, it doesn't have to be for everyone, right?
Right?
But those people who are within Facebook are really passionate about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, enough about Facebook. Of course, that's the number one story of this year, apart from the iPhone. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, and I know John has some questions too for you, but let's talk about the Social Media Manifesto, which you wrote, I guess, back in June, which I thought was terrific. And, you know, I've commented on your blog. I really felt it was a leading-edge document. What is your view? What is the Social Media Manifesto to start off with?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about social media. And what I wanted to do was write something that showed how social media can be implemented in a marketing campaign today. this, you know, stop talking about the theory of social media, how it's changing the media landscape, how it's forcing the evolution of communications. I wanted to write something that said, look, here's what it is. Here's what you need to do about it. Here's where to go. Here's how it could help you. And it really got people thinking and talking about how these social tools could be applied in business. And I was actually really surprised by the response it got, and it still continues to get discussed, which is good. In fact, I just finished about a pretty intensive 3-week sort of just investigation of what other tools are out there, what's missing from the social media manifesto, because it's just going to be, it's got to be something that's going to need to be updated every month, because there's just new tools, new communities that are gaining traction all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be releasing that hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
So what are some of the key, and are you focused more on the, is it more consumer focused, or are you focusing more on the enterprise and how the enterprise is dealing with social media? Because that's a whole nother area. And I know your vocation is that you're in PR and you advise companies. So is it more enterprise focused, corporate, you know, or consumer focused, or?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, I discuss things of how small businesses can utilize social media all the way up until how companies like Dell or Federal Express are using social media and the social tools out there to sort of cultivate relationships. I have an article that I'm going to be writing or publishing next week that sort of takes the look of how, at the end of the day, while PR people and communications and advertising have jumped all over social media to sort of help renew or invigorate its industries, the article I'm writing is that social media actually is, you know, customer service, really. Customer service is the new marketing, because what it's doing is it's forcing companies to look outbound to conversations to get engaged, help people, whereas, you know, traditionally customer service has just been viewed as an inbound cost center, and I think social media is changing that, and it's going to force all of us to become somewhat of customer service experts too.
Yeah, no question. We have a call, and looks like it's Lisa Padilla. How are you, Lisa?
How are you?
Good. Okay, that's better.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. Hi.
Okay, great. So my question for you, Brian, is, and maybe working on a Sunday is part of the answer, but my question is, I run into a lot of PR people and advertising and journalism people who are jumping into the social media pool, and I more and more so. And my question is about how companies or what companies should be looking for in a PR or advertising agency when they're all saying they do social media. And
yeah.
There's my
sorry, Lisa, that is a huge point of contention with me right now. First of all, let me say for everybody, I'm a big fan of Lisa's.
Hey, thanks.
So are we.
Hey, thanks to us.
And thanks to Stowe, who's listening. We have to thank Stowe Boyd for introducing us to Lisa. So thank you,
Stowe. Absolutely. The interesting thing about there is no doubt that, you know, marketers are inherently marketers, and they've all picked up on the fact that social media could be their new golden ticket. I have been seeing all over the place, there are plenty of public relations and advertising guys that are old school trying to use social media to grab onto something brand new that are completely corrupting and polluting the entire social media landscape, and it's making it very difficult for companies that know they want to engage to figure out who they need to be working with when everybody is suddenly an expert. I can tell you that most people aren't experts. I don't consider myself an expert. It's just I just experiment. I figure out what works, what doesn't work, and it's changing all the time. I think those companies looking to engage in social media need to first ask themselves, what do they want to accomplish with social media? What for them would be successful? Because I think that answer is going to be different across the board. And when they know that, they can then evaluate who they want to work with. But I would highly recommend that they spend some time researching the work that people have done in the realm of social media when considering who to work with, because there's a lot of people who talk but don't walk the walk.
So what type of tools do you recommend or would you recommend to companies? Because I'll tell you what, we're starting to have conversations with a lot of companies about Blog Talk Radio as a platform, not necessarily the network of Blog Talk Radio, but the application we have, which can sit on other networks. We have a white label solution, and Sun Microsystems, for example, is a customer of Blog Talk Radio. And so many companies, major companies, are talking to us about deploying social media and social and different tools. In fact, the Pentagon, which we're going to have a big press release out in the next week or two, has started doing shows on Blog Talk Radio. The Pentagon has created a Blogosphere Initiatives office, and I reached out to them about a year ago at the Pentagon, and they're now using social media. So it's fascinating as to what these companies know they need to go there, and I really don't think they know what they need to do. Number one, what's your view on that? And number two, do you advise that they establish presence on sites like Facebook or others where they drive traffic, or would you suggest that they build community within their own online environments?
I think that question, I could tell you that I've had a lot of those same discussions with huge government agencies asking how to engage, just calling on a whim and just trying to get into conversations because they're desperate to figure out how to be part of this. You know, the answer isn't the same for every company or every group or every agency. I mean, the truth is that you got to figure out where are the people that you want to reach. Well, first of all, who are the people you want to reach? And you can't just say everyone, right? Because that's just not the point of social media. I mean, the thing is that, you know, Jay Rosen, who, you know, wisely said we are the people formerly known as the audience, and actually learning a lot from Still Boyd in this regard, you know, there are groups of people that congregate within online communities that create their own cultures, of which you have to sort of, it's a lot like anthropology, you have to figure out these cultures and reverse engineer that. Where do these people go? How do they share information? What are they looking for? And it's, and all of this they call, you know, the art of listening. But that'll dictate where you go, and that'll dictate your social media strategy. You know, where are they talking? What are they talking about? Are they talking about your group? Are they talking about your competitors? Are they, you know, are they praising you? Are they trashing you? And all of this gives you sort of the insight you need to create a platform, a play, and that's going to tell you whether or not you need to be in Facebook. They need to tell you whether or not you should be on Blog Talk Radio, or, you know, Udders or Twitter or any of the other, you know, thousands of tools out there.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's incredible. And Chris Brogan, who's very active in enterprise social media, is going to be a guest, as I said, this week. So I'm looking forward to speaking to him about what he's seeing from the enterprise. Because I tell you that the enterprise, they want to get in. I mean, it seems to be every site that we're talking to now, company, they're just looking to get more engagement on their own site, and I don't blame them. They're trying to build community, but I don't think they necessarily know how. You can't force community building. You have to be, I believe, I mean, we're building community, obviously, here on Blog Talk Radio, but that's a very big challenge. And then the question is do you build community and really spend a lot of money building community on Facebook? And while it can bring you, obviously, more activity and traction, you're also moving the conversation away from your own website.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess that's sort of the, you know, when people talk about, you know, social media is about, you know, relinquishing control, control of the message, you know, that is to what they're referring, and that is that you have to be willing to let people go away from your site. I mean, that's sort of like the whole shift in marketing and communications in terms of, or even customer service, you know, it's about looking outward, right? And engaging people on their own terms within their own communities as you are a person, not as a company, right? And the thing that's interesting is that once you start to develop those relationships, I mean, you can bring them back to your site. You can cultivate a community on your own site, and that's sort of, especially in the enterprise, I mean, that's what's driving things like, you know, kick apps or leverage software, you know, people, you know, companies that can come in there and sort of build a very sweet social network and community for these sites. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, a social network doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a community, right? It's just a tool that facilitates conversations. It's about the people that define what that community and culture is going to be.
Right. That's for sure. John?
Yeah, Brian, I had a question. First of all, I'm a big fan of the Social Media Manifesto, so thank you for that. And on the site right now, and one thing I wanted to ask you about is we're so open and focusing, meaning the folks who work in the new media world, and, you know, like Aleph, I say, talked the first item here I'm reading from your defining the future of integrated communications and getting to work. And so I love how you say experiment with social media as a person before jumping in as a company spokesperson. So the paradigm of being a human before, you know, going in with business speak. So I'm a huge fan of that. But as Alan mentioned, I'm working on this book on transparency. I'd love to have you talk for a little while on how you deal with your enterprise clients in terms of balancing being, you know, out there showing more of a human side of your brand and your organization, but then the privacy concerns, you know, stuff that Facebook is dealing with, or protecting your intellectual property. How do you help clients deal with that balance?
Yeah, well, that it's all being done in sort of real time, if you will. I mean, the truth is that, you know, privacy is a whole different discussion, but I'll try to tackle this in sort of bite-sized chunks. When I say that companies need to, you know, let their people participate as people first, I mean, it's a really key point because I want whether you're in an enterprise or what have you, I mean, you need to go into these communities as a knowledgeable person, as an expert person, as someone willing to help add value to the community outside of just what it is that you do or the benefits you provide as a company, right? And there are a lot of discussions that you could have before even saying you're with, you know, X enterprise and this is what you do to solve the world's problems. And in doing so, you learn a lot about the culture. And this is where I say some of the biggest roots in social media have a lot to do, you know, with sociology instead of just the social media tools. It sort of teaches you how to communicate within that culture, right? And the thing that makes it a little challenging is that, especially within enterprise organizations, there isn't necessarily a standard yet across the board for how people should and should not participate in social media, right? I mean, SAP and Cisco, I think, are paving the way for how, you know, by giving employees sort of like this code of ethics and code of conduct for how to engage out there, because they're on the front line saying, look, we realize that public relations is not just about press releases. Everybody within our organization is responsible for public relations, whereas media relations, analyst relations, investor relations are specialized, you know, departments within our company. So they're saying, look, if you're going to do it, here's how we would like you to engage, and here are some very important things to remember. And I think that there's a lot of kudos that should go their way, and I'm sure that what they're doing is going to sort of standardize how companies approach all of this. Now, on the privacy side, I can tell you there's a lot of people, like, especially with this Facebook, that are using it to sort of engage other people without thinking about the back end, right? And that is the back end being their own profile. I've talked a lot about this. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at a Facebook event in Seattle this coming week about how Facebook really is adds more to your personal brand than you might know, right? Each profile sort of features or can feature who you are, what you do, the communities in which you participate, who your friends are, you know, the pictures you share, the applications you share, and, you know, a lot of that, you know, especially now that those profiles are showing up in Google search, you have to be very wary about what you decide to share online. And that just goes across every social network because it all comes back to who you are and what you stand for.
Well, When wasn't it the Valley Wag? There was that great thing where the guy went to a party dressed as a fairy and took a picture and it went up on Flickr. Wasn't that it? And then his boss emailed him the next day and just said, you know, great outfit. Was that?
Yes.
So it's a great example of, I think, people. I just interviewed a great guy the other day, a guy named Jonathan Vanasco, who's CEO of a company called Find Me On. And he had a great quote, which was something just to the effect of, people just aren't thinking, which I thought was exactly what you just said. You aren't realizing the digital footprint that people are leaving, and that's something I think for a while people are going to make these either errors or just they're not going to take that into consideration. And is that something, do you sort of give that caveat to clients as well?
Absolutely. You have to, if even down to how you comment on a blog, I mean, this footprint is going to be there for a really, really long time. And, you know, people will go out and find what they want about you and come to their own conclusion. So, you know, help steer them in a way that's going to, you know, to benefit you and the company you represent. When I wrote, you know, a short, Still Boyd wrote something recently, like, beware of the clients you choose to work with that require you to edit your Twitter stream. And it got me thinking, you know, it's very true, and it's not just about the Twitter stream, it's everything across the board. It was just three short paragraphs about, you know, just reminding people to think about how they're contributing to their online brand. And, you know, within minutes, I had three or four comments from people that had, you know, one was really interesting that went, the gentleman had gone to a job interview and they had Googled him, of course, which is becoming a standard practice, and they had questions for him about certain comments he had left in blogs, his views. I guess he had written a post about something that caused issue with his potential employer. I mean, all these things came to haunt him in a way that he just wasn't prepared to really discuss.
Yeah, I mean, I told my son, I said, look, be careful what's on these profile pages. But they're kids in many ways. I mean, of course, an adult should be a mature individual. Adult should be cognizant. You know, obviously, you post things in there that it's going to be seen. But these kids have no idea. I mean, it's been going on for years. You know, and of course, the old days with the profiles in MySpace, you do maybe still there. Do you do drugs? Do you drink? Do you know? Yeah, occasionally. You know, and all these things. It's amazing. And
yeah, there's always those pictures with the beer bong and, you know.
So I have another question, and as an entrepreneur myself and someone who is building a company, how does a new company get airtime out there in the valley? And how do you break through? It's there's so many companies formed, there's so much clutter. There's so many companies doing the same thing, and of course there's always the latest, greatest thing that's hit for that week or that month, but how does a company do it in a cost-effective way? And it's really an interesting you know, question, I think, and what's your view on that?
Well, there's no one magic bullet. The best thing that
of course, apart from hiring you, and you know, that we know is immediate, you know, credibility and, you know, stratospheric buzz. Apart from that,
I appreciate that, Alan. I mean, I don't, you know, the truth is that I tell companies all the time that they don't need to work with me in order to do that. That there are ways to jump in and rise above the fray, but it all starts with participation, right? I mean, you know, going back to the clue train, I mean, participation is marketing. And nowadays, especially in Silicon Valley, there are tech events, conversations, just discussions taking place almost every day that just simply by being there and talking to people sort of elevate this whole concept of social capital. And that was the whole reason why I started Bubblicious, because I think that what social media, or, you know, well, that and also working with Stowe on coming up with a great idea for it, social media sort of gave way to what I call the whole social economy, right? And this is businesses being able to succeed in new ways all because of social media, giving voices to not only them but also their customers. And in Silicon Valley right now, there's a lot to be said for social capital. And that is, you know, the value of you and your role and what you stand for in the communities in which you participate. And this is all, you know,
not just social networks. I mean, this is real networks. There are some great people that are coming out. All of the A-listers that you can imagine are even going to these events and conferences and forums, because it's just they're just fascinating, not just to promote yourself, but I can't tell you how much I learned by going to all these things.
Well, you're entrenched in the community, but someone who's outside, who's looking to, who has a great idea and looking to get in. Now, Loïc Lemur, I guess, right? I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name properly. Of course, he was a noted blogger in France, and he moved to San Francisco to launch his new site. And there's tons of buzz around what he's doing. Is that what you need to do? Do you have to live there to be part of it?
I think that there are plenty of people who don't live here that just even by coming in and out are showing that you can be successful here. Loïc is, very well connected. But there are other, I won't drop their names, but there are other very well known and, very successful entrepreneurs who have had success in the past and are having difficulty recreating that success now, by the way in which they do participate. I give companies that ask me, how do I jump in, a list of everything that I go to every month and a list of everything that I don't go to every month. And upcoming.org is a great way to sort of monitor the pulse of all of these things that are taking place. Befriend somebody like Robert Scoble on upcoming.org, and you're, tapped into everything that matters, now and into the future. And you decide what you want to participate in, because I can tell you that I see Loïc everywhere, and it helps to his social capital, aside from being France's most famous blogger. It just helps people get in there, and a lot of that has to do with who you are and what you stand for, because ultimately, just because you're showing up doesn't mean that you're going to develop that brand is going to carry you to be successful online.
Right. No question. That's fascinating. Again, we're on with Brian Solis live here on blogtalkradio.com. I really appreciate it. The call-in number is 347-677-0649. If anyone would like to ask a question. John, you have a question. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, hey, Brian. Wondering, so with either venture capitalists or just the Valley in general, and I've been on the East Coast my whole life, how much do you think popular opinion or whatever sort of controls the industry versus things happen and then the industry follows those trends?
It's definitely a bit of both, right? I mean, I could guarantee that had Facebook gone public, a few months ago, that probably would have caused quite a Google-like frenzy. And that would have just been solely created on hype. And I think Michael Arrington at one of the Facebook conferences I recently attended said, one of the VCs in the audience had said something like Facebook had a valuation. He wasn't being serious, but saying that Facebook had a valuation of $100 billion. And, Arrington sniped at that and saying that's the exact kind of thinking that got us in trouble the last time. So there is that sense of hype that is sort of driving a lot of VCs, but I do think that the Kool-Aid is starting to taste, pretty bad, and people are really starting to re-examine sort of the investments that they're making. I went to this event the other day called Media Predicts 08, where, Kara Swisher, Robert Scoble, Rob Hoff of Business Week, Jim Goldman of CNBC, Don Clark of Wall Street Journal, all basically agreed that in 08, any startup that's still focusing its revenue on advertising is, going to start to sort of cause a backlash against, all of these media darlings. They're going to have to start taking it to we're not just a feature, we're a company sort of standpoint. And I think VCs are really, tapping into that. So they're doing a lot more homework. They're participating. They're talking to a lot of companies. But I will say that there's still plenty of VCs that I talk to that are thinking about making foolish decisions. And
well, we've seen that in all the great bubbles, right? Telecom, when I was in telecom in the 90s, I got out in December 99, people were knocking down our doors to invest in the space in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's incredible. And just as the market, of course, was peaking. And I'll tell you that the conversations that I have with VCs or bankers and so on, people focusing on, let's even Blog Talk Radio, the question of monetization is definitely on people's mind. That's key. And I don't think there's a lot of business plans out there that there is a clear path towards monetization. It's still very new. The advertising model is still very new for a lot of, a lot of mainline advertisers looking to move into online media. And really, it's not paying that much. And it's an interesting, what's going to happen in the advertising space is going to really be fascinating over the next year to two.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was trying to think about the numbers that Kara Swisher had pointed out, but she said it's still a frighteningly low percentage of dollars that are still, focused online.
Yeah, there's no question. But the CPM rates are ridiculously low, and I think that the advertisers right now that are, the intermediary, the people that are selling the ads and then placing the ads are making a huge amount of money, and that's why they've all been scooped up. Because the publishers of content that are working hard creating content are not getting their fair share, I believe, of really targeted attention to their sites. And that's going to have to change. And that goes into another question I had, which was a post I saw on Read Write Web. I don't remember exactly how it was, what the title of the post was, but it was talking about blogging and is it waning or not. I mean, what's your sense of blogging and is it waning? Is microblogging, let's say Twitter or Jaiku and others, becoming more of a force? And traditional blogging as we know it is waning a bit?
I think traditional blogging is, who is it? Is it Forrester that said earlier this year that blogging was, they went on the record and saying that blogging had peaked. I can't answer that from a statistical standpoint. I can only answer it from what my gut tells me that blogging is only going to continue to grow. Even in its traditional sense, because companies and social media is really starting to help them understand this, as well as regular people, that it's healthy to blog. Whether you blog for business or you blog to just share your thoughts, it gets you engaged and on the path to understanding how information and content is getting democratized. And I think it's only going to grow now. Things like micromedia or microblogs are also going to complement it. I don't think it's going to replace it. I mean, there's still people that have a lot more to say than just trying to stuff something into 140 characters on Twitter. But I do see that as we move forward, that a lot of these tools are going to start to create almost like formulas, channels of conversation, specific conversation. Like, for example, companies can use Twitter or Jaiku or Tumblr as customer service channels and relationship builders, where they're providing updates, providing answers, tips and tricks, answering questions, sharing it with the community, in ways that writing a blog post for every single one of those is just, going to be too cumbersome. But I do think that, if anything, what all of this is telling us is that we have to rethink how we communicate with people. And that's going to come down to even the people you have within your own marketing and service departments. You're going to have to start to absorb these new responsibilities and grow these functions, because they're going to become more valuable over time.
Well, and Brian, this is John. I wanted to comment on something you said, that Kara talked about how online advertising is still such a small portion, and what Forrester said, that blogging has not peaked. I mean, one thing, this is more of a comment, but this doesn't make sense to me. I mean, in our experience with, the different folks that we're dealing with, the media folks, everyone is putting a huge amount of effort to their online versions of their media, right? NBC has done a great job with making their shows downloadable. Just the other night I was watching Friday Night Lights, so I see an ad at the front end, the pre-roll. So those types of comments don't mean anything to me anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't hear it in context, and this is not to slander Kara, but the point being, why is it relevant in one sense that online advertising now is at whatever point? Where is everything going? It is online, right?
So your point.
No, I know. So again, I get frustrated with this in the sense of, when the box on top of your TV in a couple of years, when everything goes digital, whether it's TiVo or whatever else, everything is going to be essentially the internet. So online advertising anyway, I think you get my point. I didn't mean to make it a soapbox against what she said because I didn't hear the context. But
well,
you get my point, right? Like, why
yeah.
And blogging going away? Look, you can put keywords in a blog, right? It's going to drive traffic to your site. Any savvy marketer saying blogging is going away, that's to me, that's absurd. Why would you? It's like saying no one's going to use press releases anymore, right?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And you know, whether some of this stuff that people just go out there and start bannering about, well, not in Kara's case, but others that say, you know, I don't know if it's link baiting or what have you, or if it's just creating controversy, you know, which is very typical in the blogosphere to increase sort of views, traffic, and subscriptions. But, you know, all of these guys, you know, one of the best discussions, actually, at this Media Predicts event, before I forget, was, you know, for example, somebody mentioned, you know, this whole HD DVD versus Blu-ray is a completely absurd discussion on who's going to win the format, because truthfully, it's all going to be about downloads. I mean, and you know, Scoble even said that he bought a Mac Mini to connect to his big flat screen television because that's all he's doing right now. I'm using a company product called MediaGate, which basically just, in a sense, is just a do-it-yourself home theater PC. All my movies are downloaded. My television shows are downloaded. And you're right. It's all about the shift to online, whether it's marketing, advertising, or what have you. That's where my eyeballs are. And even if I'm watching television, it's stuff that I got from the web.
But of course, you're a leader in technology, and you're at the forefront of what's going on. So, America out there is obviously more engaged, just spending a lot more time online, certainly.
Yeah, and it's only going to grow, and it's only going to continue that way, right? I mean, the way that I did it was a lot more painful than the way that the masses are going to be able to do it as soon as next year. But, you know, I think it was Jim Goldman who said, I mean, about the discussion being moot. He's absolutely right. I mean, there's just quite a bit of money going back and forth on who's going to have the standard. And all these boxes are going to be built, and a lot of them are going to be sold, and DVDs are going to be manufactured. But ultimately, it's going to be like the CD. I mean, the iPod is showing us that you can interact with your favorite things by putting a little device on your PC and getting music from the web.
Did you on another note? I think you also referenced this on your site, and I guess over the Thanksgiving holiday, there was that post made on TechCrunch about video and gaming the system and that. What was your view on that?
Oh, man.
I mean, it was I felt awful reading that, and then the comments were fascinating, but I don't know, felt like we were, you know, not raped, but I mean, of course we have to be aware that this goes on, but it was interesting. What's your view of that whole dynamic?
Well, I feel like that guy got a lot of business from it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
I believe that that was a very foolish article to run, and whether Arrington believes it or not, or says otherwise, I mean, it did great for his site. I mean, I think I looked on Delicious the other day, and that particular article had almost 1,000 bookmarks on it. And just as many comments on the post. I felt pretty dirty after reading it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like that magician that goes around and starts telling everybody how the tricks are done. I mean, there's tricks, and then there's transparency. And I don't truly believe that this guy. Maybe it's working for him. But what really sucks about the entire thing is that his recommendations, his insight, left people with the wrong impression of how to go out and engage, right? Videos aren't viral, right? People make them viral. And how you would decide to engage people and work with people to get that stuff to be shared with others, I mean, that's all about intention. And in that article, the impression I walked away with is, you know, that article might as well have been called how to manipulate people into doing what you want so that you can get the numbers to charge your clients more money.
Right. No, and as someone who we sell numbers too. I mean, at Blog Talk Radio, we produce 37,000 broadcasts. I mean, in a year, a little more, and we have, you know, some people get downloads of 100 a show, and they're excited because 2 months ago they had 50, and I have some that get downloads of 25,000 per show. But when I look at the numbers, and of course we're in long form audio and it's a different platform, but when you look at some of these numbers, you have a million views, and you start seeing that a lot of these numbers are just, you know, bullshit. It's pretty disheartening. It's a little concerning to me.
Yeah.
You know, guys, are people working hard and getting numbers, you know? Are we fools? I mean, am I a fool? I mean, we haven't gained it yet, you know? And maybe we should go on TechCrunch and get 500 or 1,000 comments.
Well, you know, the thing is like, what's it going to be for the long term? And this comes back to, you know, Lisa's point earlier. I mean, what social media experts are you going to choose to work with? Are you going to work with those that game the system? Or are you going to work with those that build sort of an organic sort of community around your campaign so that people at the end of the day feel like that there's no bad taste in their mouth, you know, that there is no risk of them backlashing against your brand all for the sake of, you know, getting ridiculous numbers by putting videos up on YouTube and gaming other systems. I think there's just a lot more. I think that if anything we learn from social media is that we should be okay with the less is more strategy, right? I mean, there's something to be said for quality versus quantity. And I've seen in my own experience that we've had successful conversions of views to subscriptions or views to sales or views to registrations based on campaigns that were much more targeted within the communities that were reaching the people that were going to actually do something rather than trying to get a million views on something by spamming, you know, or subtly spamming or gaming the systems.
We have another few moments with you, but one of the questions that I had was, how does a company measure success in social media? And I say that because we're having conversations with people, and you know, we feel we have a platform that's helpful in people getting their word out, right, promoting their ideas or their products. How do you measure it? How do they do it, and how long does it take to have a viable measurement? It's all new things we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all new things, and just like what defines a social media campaign is also going to be what defines its success, and that is you have to look at it. It's not like PR. It's not like advertising. You know, it's not like, you know, CPMs. This is about people, right? And you have to ask yourself as a company, what is it that we want to garner from our social media initiative? Do we want to build relationships with people, and therefore we can judge it like we would a beauty or branding advertising campaign? Is it that we want to increase users, registrations, or sales? Well, then we need to look at it, you know, from this standpoint. Or is it a combination of all of the above? Or do we want to use social media to, you know, increase conversations about our brand, and in turn we can monitor it using, you know, other social tools that can tell us about all the companies that are talking about our brand versus other competitors? I think that there's going to be different combinations for every single company. And then once the company agrees on those metrics that are going to be deemed as a success, then they can go and find the tools that are going to help them sort of monitor and measure that and its progress along the way. But there's no one formula that says, you know, this is success in social media.
Okay, John, I think you have a final question for Brian.
Yeah, it was just going to be, I had the pleasure of interviewing Andrew Barron, the founder of Rockaboom, the other day, and we talked about the the article on TechCrunch there. And he also pointed out, and this is something I'd love your confirmation on, Brian, the viral thing, even if you get lucky with a one-off, like if you could game the system and get X amount of views wherever, the real power of something like a Rockaboom, you know, since it's been around since 2004, is sustaining that conversation with your audience and sustaining the caliber and quality of the content versus one, you know, funny video of a dog catching a frisbee. I mean, do you think that's the case, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the whole point of, you know, there are going to be, you know,
spammers in social media, and there are going to be people that are going to help you sort of build that quality and meaningful relationships with your customers and your community. And ultimately, the goal is to sort of cultivate and build it, grow it, let it grow organically so that the people feel loyal back to the company, right? It's not about that one hit. It's not about, for example, I have a really good friend who runs a company who spent, just experimenting on how to game big, just 15 days in a row having 1, 2, 3 stories on the front page of Dig and then analyzing sort of like what those numbers mean coming back to a particular URL. And, it's that article, unfortunately, is only sort of a hint into how everybody else is gaming every single network out there, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better. But there are going to be people like me and you who are going to want to do things in a much more meaningful way because it's all about the long term, and in the long term, that's how we're going to sustain sort of that community and relationships we need.
No question. I'm glad you said that, and I tell you, from my perspective, as long as we as a company, and I mean Blog Talk Radio, adds value to the user, that the user gets something out of it, then that's going to have people coming back. And it's going to take a while, and it's long, it's a process that happens over time when we're creating a community. But you have to add value at the end of the day, and you have to do it rightly. You have to have morals. You have to have ethics. And that's the only way you're going to have people coming back. And it would be nice to have, the million views, but I'd rather have a community that has trust in the platform. And so with that, I want to thank you for joining us today on Sunday. I'm glad you were able to carve out some time from your schedule.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. It was great. And, any time you guys ever need anything, I'm here for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's Brian Solis, the founder and principal of FutureWorks and top PR guy out. If you're looking in San Francisco, West Coast, any west of the Mississippi, actually anywhere in the United States, I think you should look into Brian. He's a great guy. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you,
Alan. Thanks, Brian.
John,
thank you.
John, I wanted to wish you a happy weekend and thank you for taking the time today as well for joining us.
My pleasure, Alan. Brian was a great guest.
Yeah, he was. He's really knowledgeable. It's great that he took the time and we got into some important issues, I think. So with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Alan Levy Show, and I'm going to play my little closing bumper that John Havens personally prepared for us. So thanks again, John.
Yep.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.